Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's visit a little bit with Dr. Brian Barnhart. He's the superintendent of Western Springs School District number 101. That's McClure Junior High. That's Forest Hills. That's Field Park Elementary and more. Doctor, welcome to WGN. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm a LaGrange Park kind of guy, so I'm not too far from your neighborhood.
I was just talking to the LaGrange Park superintendent about 4 minutes ago, so we're happy to have you.
Yeah, well, at least we used to be out there. Now I live in the city. I suppose this is a dilemma for everybody, though, suburbs and city. If you're running a school or school district, even if things are going well, should you be proactive and say, we need to pull back from in-person learning or not? What are you guys doing in Western Springs? Do you have students in classrooms?
So we opened the school year in hybrid, which means kids are in school for 3 hours a day. We do an AM and a PM flip-flop, and we have stayed in hybrid so far through the school year, but certainly where things have gone the last week plus, kind of everything's on the table. And I know some of our local districts have gone adaptive pause. They've gone to remote for a defined period of time, and we're certainly considering all the options right now.
But there's a new phrase.
They're still in classrooms, yeah.
Adaptive pause. So you said what's been happening lately. Do you just mean general COVID spread in the community, or have you seen spikes in your schools?
So the general spike in the positivity rates in our community, as well as Region 10, which we're a part of, in the suburban Cook County, that's been the biggest change over the last 7 to 10 days. Transmission in our schools, knock on wood, have been really, really minimal. We've been very fortunate. Our staff has done an amazing job keeping social distancing and all the other safety pieces in place. So that part has been a real positive thus far, and probably the reason we're still in in-person learning with kids in classrooms.
So if you were only using the COVID spread in your schools, you would not have to be pulling back right now, right?
That is correct. Yep. That is kind of, we've got five or six different things we're looking at simultaneously, but the transmission in schools, we think, is the number one issue right now.
So then are you getting pressure from parents saying, wait a minute, it's going fine. We want the kids to stay hybrid learning?
I think right now the general sentiment of our parents would be to try to see this through for a while longer, keeping kids in class. We were a bit of an outlier, even at the start of the school year. We only had 5% of our families choose to go remote, and it stayed pretty much at that level.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Strong indicator, yeah, for
wow.
sure.
So 95% of the families are participating in hybrid learning. The kids are home part of the time in school. So a given child would be in your schools 2-3 days a week then, right?
No, they're actually in. They're in every single day.
Wow.
For 3 hours. So they're in either an AM session or a PM session every day.
Wow! And you guys are pulling that off. You know, though, speaking of LaGrange, one of the school board members there is that scientist. Is he an epidemiologist? We've talked
yes.
to him before. He's sort of promoted, and I don't know that he invented, but he sure promoted that spit saliva test, which is working great. Are you guys doing some sort of testing like that in your schools?
Yeah, so you're referencing LaGrange 102. They've done a really very innovative thing with their saliva test. I think it's created a nice safety net for them, and they are still in as well. We actually have partnered with a group by the name of Ambry Genetics. One of our parents is actually a rep for them and brought this idea to us probably in July. And we also have a saliva test that we're using with the adults in the district. So each of our staff members actually has a kit or two at home with them. And if they feel they've been exposed or something along those lines, they can submit that test, and within 36 to 48 hours, they have results back from a lab in California, and our staff has been accessing that, so that also has been a real positive for us.
Story in the paper yesterday said some superintendents are getting, I'm sorry, death threats, or something that's veiled as a death threat. The amount of pressure to go either way is just enormous. I don't envy you for being in this position to have to make a decision that 95% of your students' parents are saying they don't want.
Yeah, I've been doing this here for 19 years, and I will say that the last year has, or last half year for sure, has been like nothing I've ever seen before. But the other part of this is this whole thing is tough on everyone, right? I mean, we're all doing things differently, and that is kind of, that comes with the territory. That's why they give us the title, I suppose. So it's been rough, and I know it, you know, we've had our ups and downs here in our community, but I know some other places it's really gotten ugly. It has not gotten ugly here. It's been challenging, but not ugly, thank goodness.
Well, so we're visiting with Dr. Brian Barnhart, superintendent of the Western Springs School District 101. So McClure Junior High, Laidlaw, Forest Hills, Field Park Elementary. Those are the four schools you oversee?
That's correct.
None of those are high schools.
1,500 students.
Those are great schools and junior highs, right?
Yes, we have three elementaries and one junior high, and then we feed to Lyons Township High School, which is a separate district.
So kids are in the classrooms today, and you haven't made up your mind yet. When are we going to know what you're all going to do?
That's that's a question that I've been asked a lot of parents and staff, and we're continuing to watch things. We've got, like I said, we've got a lot of different variables that we kind of mix. We have not committed ourselves to a formulaic answer, and you know, we'll watch it as we move into early next week. And we told everybody right this second our plan is to come back on the 30th in hybrid, but we'll try to stay proactively communicative with everybody, you know, if and when a change is necessary.
Thanksgiving,
so it's a challenge for sure.
Thanksgiving's next Thursday, so do you have classes on Wednesday of next week?
So this is one of the pluses for our calendar. Friday of this week is actually a planned remote plan day for our staff, because we do full-day parent-teacher conferences Monday, Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, and then Wednesday is a day off for everybody. So we have to get through Thursday of this week with kids, and then it's kind of different for the next 10 days or so. So that actually works in our favor as we kind of watch what's going on with positivity rates and the like.
Yeah, there's your pause. And then the question, and so then the while you're sitting there enjoying your Thanksgiving dinner, you've got to think, okay, I wonder how everybody's doing right now, and should we go, because families will be mingling, there'll be new vectors introduced into everybody's bubbles.
Yep.
And so now do we roll the dice and put all of those people back in the classroom, or should we wait a week to 2 weeks after Thanksgiving before we come back to let people discover if they're sick or not? That's got to be on your mind.
Yeah, no, you've really hit it on the head. We had one really, really bad week, and that was shortly after Halloween. And I think everybody's kind of holding their breath and trying to project.
What do you mean really bad week, Doctor? What's a really bad week? What is that?
So we have had 35 confirmed cases in the district over the course of the school year. And 19 of those was the week of November 2nd. So more than half in one single week.
Right.
Last week was a big step backwards. Things have flattened out again. But again, watching to see what happens coming out of Thanksgiving break, as you kind of overviewed, and then even looking forward after winter break, lots and lots of eyes on what to do and trying to project forward.
Well, do you want my advice?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't have any for you. I'm a middle child. I see it both ways. Here's what I would do, and this is worth only one person's opinion. I would put a pause on the other side. I would be proactive and not bring people back the week after Thanksgiving. I've also said at the beginning of the school year, and I'd like your reaction to this, that we all have to understand that this is not going to be a great year of learning. It's going to be a great year of effort, but everybody's education is going to be compromised. And if you go into an academic calendar with that mindset, then being proactive on the other side of Thanksgiving is consistent with what we thought we were going to do all along. So even though it's going well, this isn't a great change in our philosophy. We knew it wasn't going to be perfect. What do you think of that, Doctor?
Oh, I think you've summarized it well. I think many of us thought if we could get to November 1st, let alone Thanksgiving, when all of this kicked off in August, I think we would have considered that a win. Now we're hoping for a little bit more, but you know, the consideration of a pause after Thanksgiving or after winter break, it makes a ton of sense.
What are you doing for extracurricular activities?
Almost nothing, but almost zero. We've worked with our staff that when we can offer things for kids that keep social distancing, all the safety protocols that we have for our classroom stuff, when that can be included, then we'll run those extracurriculars, but certainly nothing like a normal school year. Sports has been a no-go. And those are some real challenges because those are so important for our kids, of course.
Music, drama, things like that, chess club, whatever.
Yeah, we're doing some of those. Like, our music teachers have done a great job of there have been at-home concerts where kids are performing for their families and using technology, a lot of creativity. When we come out the other side of this, some of the lessons learned, it's going to change a lot of things, and there's going to be a lot of change for the better. We just need to hang in there and get to that point for sure.
It's an interesting observation, isn't it? That while maybe we would not have learned the three R's as vigorously as we'd like, maybe we've gained some EQ or something else along the way, right?
I think you're right. I really do.
Well, I'll tell you this, Doctor. I feel about the superintendents, and we visited with many of them over the last 9 months, the way I do county clerks. We don't know these people that well. Maybe superintendents better than county clerks, but I'm just reassured every time I talk to one that their head and heart are in the right place. And I know you're using all the resources you can to make the best decisions for your community there in Western Springs, School District 101. Dr. Brian Barnhart. Nice to talk to you, doctors. Thanks for joining us today.
Nice to talk with you as well. Thanks, John.
Have a safe and smart Thanksgiving there. Really, did you meet, when you were listening to all of our shows here, did you hear a county clerk and you went, pfft? No, you, and by the way, that was me being dismissive. No, I was so encouraged by the people who are trying to safeguard our votes the same way I have been with the supers who are trying to safeguard our health. On a phone line is Tony Sanders. He's got a decision to make, too. Tony, you're on WGN Radio. We appreciate you joining us. You're the superintendent of Elgin School District U46. Is that right?
That is correct. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, let's just take a few minutes. We visited with one of your colleagues in Western Springs a little while ago from District 101. What are you all doing in Elgin now?
So we've been predominantly remote for most of the school year. We've brought in groups of students with specialized needs about a month ago.
Right.
And for the last week and a half, we've had our earliest learners, preschool through second grade, in person for instruction. But now we're taking an adaptive pause, which I don't really like that term, but that's the state's term for going back into remote learning for a period of time based on the spike in cases locally.
Had you not had a local spike, would you be doing this? I wonder if you could do it proactively.
We certainly monitor the data on a daily basis. But in this particular instance, our Kane County Health Department came out and suggested, not only suggested, they directed us to move into distance learning.
Oh, no kidding. So you didn't have an option here, or could you have sort of gone over their head?
Well, no, there's really no, they really do have authority over us in these matters. So having them direct us to do this was, for me, very telling. We do work with, and U46, we're the state's second largest district. So we span three different counties: Kane, Cook, and DuPage.
What are your schools, Tony?
I'm sorry?
What schools do you represent then? What are we talking about here?
So you're talking about all Elgin area schools, Bartlett, Streamwood, Hanover Park. We have 11 different communities and serve about 37,000 students across 57 schools.
So this goes into effect when then?
So effective next Monday, November 23rd, is when we will go back to full distance learning for all kids.
What have you been hearing from the parents?
I get different reactions. I have certainly parents who want their kid in person every day. Don't worry about COVID. It doesn't affect kids. The parents who want to keep their kids at home and continue in distance learning for the foreseeable future until there's a vaccine. Unfortunately, it's a no-win situation for superintendents and school systems.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to make the best, worst decision we can make.
The best, worst decision. I get that. Have you detected some hostility? Has it gotten a little ugly out there?
No, I think for the most part we have patience among most parents. I think certainly I understand their frustration. I have college-age students who are back at home learning remotely as well. So I get the frustration of having your kids back home and learning from home. It's not ideal for anybody. And I think at some point we just have to recognize this is not going to be a normal year. It's just not going to be a normal year.
Elgin School District, I didn't realize, is the second largest in the state. I guess to CPS, is that it?
Yep, we're second largest to CPS.
Wow. So when do you anticipate that you'll have the kids back in the classrooms?
So the health department's asked us to take this pause until December 4th. I'm not sure. We will have, I'm sure, continuing conversations in early December as to whether or not they want us to extend it.
Yeah.
But I would expect, if I were a parent, I would expect that my child will be out for quite some time again.
Sounds to me like, yeah, if we're going to be out till December 4th and then you break again middle of December for Christmas, you might as well not come back until the 1st of January, right?
Right. You were saying at the beginning that St. Charles School District, which is one of my neighboring school districts here in Kane County, that they also shut down at the direction of the Kane County Health Department. And you heard they're just going to take a pause through the Christmas holidays.
No sports, no music, no stuff like that?
No sports, no music, while per the health department. Nope. Not while we're on pause.
Okay. Good luck to you, Tony Sanders, Superintendent, John. Elgin School District U46. Our best to everybody out there.
Thank you so much. Look forward to coming back on sometime soon.
Yeah, let's do that. I'd love to hear from you.